I'm here with Professor Christine Jenkins from the Smoker Study. Christine, could you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself and describing this study?
Yes, Nick, thank you. I'm Professor of Medicine at the University of Sydney, and I'm a thoracic physician. I look after people with lung disease. And I also work and run clinical trials at the George Institute for Global Health. And this study is an opportunity for us to test an intervention, a treatment that could possibly change the way in which lung disease develops in smokers and even slow it down significantly. Most smokers don't know they are developing lung disease, and this disease we call chronic bronchitis and emphysema, in technical terms, is called COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So this study is looking at a treatment that could potentially prevent that disease from developing in people who smoke. At the moment, we don't have tests that enable us to know who might get this disease, but we're using a very fancy test in this study that we hope will help us to identify those people and then see whether or not they benefit from our treatment.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate in this study?
For people who participate in this study, it's likely that there is, first of all, one big benefit, which is we will be offering them help with stopping smoking. That's the most important thing you can do to help you not to develop lung disease from having been a smoker. But many smokers have tried multiple times, and some don't want to give up, and some try and still fail. And so the second benefit would be that people will be participating in a trial if they are continuing smokers, where there's potentially a treatment available that could change the problem that is occurring in their lungs, unbeknownst to them. We will only be doing this over a 1 year period, but in the trial publication, if we have results that show benefits of this treatment, this treatment would then be available to many, many more people and have the potential for great benefit because there is such a large population of smokers, not only in Australia still, but also globally.
What might we learn from this study?
We hope we will learn from this study whether or not this type of treatment, which is what we call a bronchodilator, a long-acting bronchodilator, and it's a combination of two different medications that can open up the air passages and keep them open for 24 hours at a time, maybe even a little longer. And we believe that by doing that, this medication could counter the effects of smoking, which is to irritate the airways and to cause them to be prone to contracting and prone to inflammation. And that inflammation then causes damage that contributes to the long-term harm to the lung in smokers. It occurs very, very slowly, very insidiously over a long period of time, many years. And people don't know it's happening until they become breathless, and it's often too late. So what we'd be hoping is, first of all, that the tests we are using, these very special tests of lung function, would enable us to identify people at risk. And secondly, that the drugs we're using, this inhaled medication, which is commonly used in treating people with lung disease, will actually have benefit very, very early on in smokers and change the rate at which lung disease can develop.
What impact might that have on society at large or the healthcare system in the future?
Well, the potential for impact on society at large is huge. I don't want to overestimate it, but COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, that is chronic bronchitis and emphysema, is the third leading global cause of death. It is monstrous disease around the world, not just because of smoking, but because of dust and fume exposure, particularly in women. Women are prone to this disease through their exposure to heating and cooking fumes and burning carbon-rich fuels in poorly ventilated spaces, also in cottage industries. And in some very, very dusty occupations, COPD can develop, usually when there is cigarette smoking combined with it. So this is a big burden disease around the world. And if we could show that this intervention early on could make a difference to the way in which it develops, this would really open up the possibilities for other kinds of research that would, first of all, identify smokers at risk much, much sooner, and secondly, have treatments available that could indeed change the probability of this horrible lung disease developing long term.
What kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
Well, we are looking for current smokers, people aged between 25 and 45, and we are wanting them not to have any signs of lung disease to speak of. They need to have normal lung function by conventional tests. But when we do our very fancy test, which we call a multiple nitrogen breath washout test, this is an easy test to perform, but it requires very sophisticated laboratory equipment. We will be able to see whether or not the people who volunteer for our study might be vulnerable to developing lung disease or most likely to benefit from this treatment. And then having done that test, if they are eligible, we would then randomise them, as you do in a clinical trial, to receive the active drug or a placebo, an identical placebo. It tastes the same, looks the same, and to the investigators and the patient is the same. But one will be having, we believe, an important effect on the way the lungs function, and the other will not necessarily be doing anything. And we must remain blinded throughout the study, and the study is 12 months long. So people who are eligible will be coming to see us at 6 monthly intervals to pick up their medication and to have their breathing tests. But we won't actually be requiring anything more of them except to record when they need to see a doctor for their lungs if anything happens in that year-long period. And, of course, they need to consent to participating in the study when they've been fully informed about it. But what I'm describing now is essentially the study. Being willing to take medication on a daily basis is very important. This is an inhaled medication, though. It's going to the lungs where we want it to work. It's not a medication you have to take as a pill. We will be providing that medication, of course, free with advice about how to use the inhaler. And they will be looking at whether or not there's benefit.
Are there any questions that people have when they're considering whether to participate in this study?
I think people will have a number of different questions. One is it the right thing to do to attract smokers into study and to really be studying smoking effects rather than to be doing much more vigorous things to try to help people give up? But as I've already described, smoking is an ongoing issue around the world, and even individuals here in Australia who've tried to give up, or some may not want to give up. For those people, we definitely want to find solutions. We also want to find solutions for testing or being able to identify people who are at risk of this sort of lung disease. For the reasons I said, that once you get a long way down the track with this lung disease, you actually have symptoms. Unfortunately, the lung has been severely damaged usually, and you can't turn that around. So one of the questions might be, will these medications do me any harm? And these medications are very widely prescribed. We have them available, approved in Australia. We're testing them in a different kind of way to the way they are conventionally used, but they are safe medications. Is there a risk of side effects from the medication? Is a question people always ask, of course. And these medications do have a very limited number of side effects. They are generally local side effects, such as having a slightly dry mouth. They are not absorbed into the system, into the bloodstream in any significant amount. And so they don't have nasty side effects of the kind sometimes that oral medications can have. People might also ask, is it important that I take the medication? you're going to give it to me, but I might just sort of turn out to be someone who only feels like taking it a couple of times a week. That is very important, actually. We need people who are willing to take the medication every day. We understand people forget. You can, of course, forget, but it is most important that people are committed to taking this medication for a year-long period and committed to coming to the visits. People often ask how long will the visits take, and the visits on this occasion will take about an hour and a half. Perhaps the first visit could take 2 hours. We'll try to schedule the visits so that people can come before or after work or at times that work well for them. And people might ask, well, where can I do the study? Well, you can do the study at one of four different locations: at Concord Hospital, Campbelltown Hospital, the Royal North Shore Hospital in St Leonards, or at the Wilcock Institute of Medical Research in Glebe. So there's a range of different locations in Sydney at which the study participants can attend. People also ask, do I have to pay for my medication? No, the medication is provided free. And of course, people ask, will I be paid for my participation? We don't pay people to participate in clinical trials generally. We certainly cover their costs, however, their transport costs, if they have to take lunch out, very small lunch cost, their parking or transport costs will be paid for if they can provide invoices to show us that they've definitely had those particular costs, yes.
Christine, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I'd just like to say that we are very keen to invite smokers and find smokers who are willing and able to participate in this study. COPD is a devastating disease, and as I've mentioned, globally, it has a huge impact. It has a very, very significant impact in our hospitals. It also, of course, smoking causes a lot of other problems, heart disease and blood vessel disease, which are very serious. And so giving up smoking from those points of view is a good thing to do. But if we could find a key to unlock the reasons for smoking-related lung damage, we would be taking a huge step toward looking at ways in which maybe in the longer term people can smoke if they have to a little more safely and with less risk. And this has great potential and would help us enormously to understand how best to identify smokers at risk and how best to help them if they continue to smoke.
Professor Christine Jenkins, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Nick.